A maritime deal between Israel and Lebanon is now in force. In Tel Aviv, it's seen by some as a de facto recognition of Israel. In Beirut, it's described as purely technical. So what are the political, security, and economic implications? This is Inside Story. Welcome to the program. I'm Darin Abugaida. Israel and Lebanon have signed an agreement laying out their maritime border for the first time. The U.S. broker deal will enable both countries to explore for gas and oil offshore. And with elections only days away, Israel's Prime Minister Yair Lapid has called it a major political achievement. He says the deal amounts to Beirut recognizing Israel. But Lebanon describes it as a technical agreement that could eventually lift the country out of its economic crisis. Zeina Khudr has this report from southern Lebanon.
Lines in the sea have been drawn. It's being described as a landmark agreement between countries technically in a state of Lebanon and Israel didn't engage directly in the process. It involved years of negotiations mediated by the United States that's given both countries guarantees if either challenges the agreement.
A historic day in the region of securing, showing what's possible under these circumstances to achieve an agreement that creates hope and economic opportunity and stability for on both sides of the border.
There was no formal ceremony to mark the agreement. Behind closed doors, the delegation signed separate documents, which were then given to the United Nations. The deal is based on what is known as Line 23. Gas from a prospective field called Qana will go to Lebanon. But since a part of it lies outside the demarcation line, Israel will be given a share of any profits. While the Karish gas field will remain within Israel's waters, and extraction has already started. This allows Israel to increase its potential to export gas to Europe, where there is a rising demand triggered by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Energy production in the Eastern Mediterranean has been growing as Israel, Egypt, Jordan, and Cyprus have worked together.
You look for proximity, you look for accessibility, among many other things. And so far, the East Med, geographically positioned as it is proving to be that accessible corridor to Europe so they can start getting gas.
Getting gas out of Lebanon will take time. The deal enables international companies to begin exploration, which could help Lebanon with its crippling economic crisis.
For Lebanon, this is about the economy. It insists the deal does not signify any form of normalization, nor is it a peace treaty. For Israel, it's about security guarantees. And in the words of the Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, a political achievement through which Lebanon de facto recognizes Israel.
Hezbollah, which fought wars with Israel, rejected those claims. But since the start of the negotiations, the Iranian-backed group adopted what many call a pragmatic approach. It is the most powerful political and military force in Lebanon, and the state would need its stamp of approval.
Hezbollah considers what happened in the maritime border demarcation agreement a great victory for Lebanon, the people, and the resistance.
The agreement may be limited to the maritime border, but the U.S. administration sees it differently. President Joe Biden says it will harness vital new energy resources for the world. Zeina Khudr, Al Jazeera, Naqoura, southern Lebanon.
So let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Beirut is Naeem Salem, who's a professor of international affairs and diplomacy at Notre Dame University in Lebanon. From Tel Aviv, Jonathan Reinhold, head of the Department of Political Studies at Bar-Ilan University. And joining us from Paris, we have Nabil Khoury, a former U.S. diplomat. Thanks so much for your time with us on Inside Story. Nabil Khoury in Paris, over to you first. So the Lebanese side has been clear, as we've been hearing, this is not a deal that marks normalization, but rather a deal that allows both countries to move forward in terms of gas exploration. But before we get into the political implications of all of this, I'd like to get your take on the deal itself and whether you see any sticking points going forward.
I think the deal itself was quite a success. feather in the cap of Mr. Hochstein. Both sides are determined to respect and to implement the agreement. So on that level, there is a fair amount of pragmatism, and the idea that this will last regardless of who is elected in Israel or in Lebanon is because of the legal language in the agreement that binds the governments. I think every side involved, the three sides mainly, expect this agreement to hold.
Okay, Jonathan, do you foresee any challenges in implementing this agreement and sustaining it in good faith?
I don't think so. Of course, the broader conflict between Israel and Hezbollah remains, but while the opposition leader Benjamin Netanyahu did initially state that he wouldn't see this agreement as binding, given the agreement's popularity in Israel with the public, he's now backtracked on that, and it's passed the cabinet, it will pass the Knesset, and I don't see any problems on the Israeli side. And the fact that it's underwritten by American mediation and promises to both sides only strengthens the likelihood that it will remain intact.
All right. Naeem, over in Beirut, I mean, both sides portraying this as a victory. What does the Lebanese side stand to gain, in your opinion?
From the perspective of Lebanon, and particularly the Lebanese government, this is a major milestone, a major achievement. In Lebanon, we have been prevented, literally prevented, from exploring for oil and gas since the 1960s. And now, after many years of hard work diplomatically, this agreement came as a breakthrough. And there are some developments which have helped this. Ironically, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the whole conundrum that has sprung up out of this invasion in Europe and the West against Russia, and the cutting of oil and gas supplies from Russia to Europe, has created a big chaos, energy chaos in Europe. So suddenly, Europe and the United States saw that it is in their interest to find alternative for Russia's gas. Russia's gas provided Europe before the war, which was begun on January 24 of this year,
right,
about 150 trillion or billion cubic meters per year. Now it has gone down to less than 40 cubic 40. Million cubic meter per year. And therefore,
okay, let me just jump in there for the sake of time, Naeem Salem, and stick with you for one more question on the politics of all of this, because as we've been hearing, the Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid is calling the deal a tremendous achievement and basically saying that Lebanon has now de facto recognized Israel. The Lebanese, of course, deny this. Lebanese president saying this does not constitute a peace agreement with Israel, saying that this is purely technical. How is this going to play out in Lebanon, with the Lebanese focusing on the technical side and economic side, while the Israelis are saying this is de facto recognition?
In reality, this agreement is purely a technical agreement, but nevertheless, it has a political and a strategic implication in the medium and long run. Technically, this agreement does not have political dimension. It has technical dimension aimed at clarifying the border demarcation line, which came to be line, the so-called Line 23. North of Line 23 has been recognized by Israel as entirely for Lebanon, and south of Line 23 was recognized by Lebanon as Israel. So this is a major milestone for Lebanon, that Israel has recognized its right and its border, and more importantly, the right of Lebanon to explore and extract the oil and gas from its territorial water. Previously, there were always prohibition
right,
put on us by Israel from exploring for natural gas or or oil. This has been ended now. This, for us, for Lebanon and Lebanese, definitely this is a major victory.
And Nabil in Paris, let me just jump in there and bring in Nabil Khoury from Paris. Yeah. So we heard from the leader of Hezbollah, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, who also said the Lebanese government had been very careful to ensure that negotiations and protocols had no hint of, quote, normalization with Israel. In your opinion, do you think it was a difficult balancing act for Lebanon to strike a balance while negotiating this deal? Because, of course, they have a decades-long dispute with Israel and they've been unable to tap into the offshore energy resources.
Look, ironically, at a very difficult time politically in Lebanon, all three presidents, which means all major factions in Lebanon, agreed that this is a good deal and did not put any spokes in the wheels of the negotiations as they neared a critical end. It's understandable that Mr. Lapid will use this politically to his advantage with an election coming up. But a cold, sober analysis, plus really the American point of view. I mean, Mr. Hochstein never doubted from the beginning that this is about oil and gas. From the American president's point of view, this is about economics. This is about avoiding a war in the region, which would disrupt oil and gas, not only from Israel, which is going to supply a fair amount of it to Europe, but also potentially endangers gas and oil from Egypt, from Cyprus. Nobody wanted to see all these rockets flying about that part of the Mediterranean. But I don't think there were any illusions in Washington or with Mr. Hochstein that this is anything else other than gas, oil, and economics.
Jonathan, I'm going to bring you in just a moment. But first, let me just do one follow-up question with you, Nabil Khoury. You say that for the U.S. president, this is about economics. But here's what Biden actually did say. He said that Lebanon and Israel have not only agreed on a provisional maritime separation line, but also have established a permanent maritime boundary. What do you read into that statement? And do you think that the U.S. is going to try to continue to build on this going forward?
Again, politically for Mr. Biden, it serves to put the best political face possible on this. But look, Mr. Hochstein was asked in a talk that he had with the American-Lebanese task force as the agreement concluded, now that you have done this, why don't you go back and fix the land borders between Israel and Lebanon? And he laughed, he chuckled, he said, thank you very much, but I do have a full-time job to go back to. At this point, the basic problems between Lebanon and Israel are all still there, and they are still dangerous. To draw a line in water is not the same as drawing a line on land. In water, most borders, maritime borders, are negotiated. There's no fast rule about them. And so the fact that the two sides were pragmatic enough to negotiate and conclude an agreement, permanent or not, it does not change anything on the ground.
Right.
The relationship between Israel and Hezbollah with Syria, mainly the relationship between Israel and the Palestinians. It's in an uproar in Jerusalem and the West Bank. All that is dangerous stuff, and Lebanon is very much in the thick of it.
Okay, Jonathan in Tel Aviv. So as we've been saying, Israel, of course, is holding upcoming elections on November 1st. And the prime minister has made comments saying that it's not every day an enemy country recognizes the state of Israel in a written agreement. Is this really how Israeli officials are seeing this, Jonathan, or are they just making these comments ahead of the upcoming elections and this has been turned into a political issue in Tel Aviv?
I think, first of all, we have to recognize that this is a little bit more than a technical agreement without being de facto recognition of the state of Israel or a step towards peace. And the reason we can say it's more than a technical agreement is because Lebanon asked for the line the borderline, the maritime border, to be reflecting the status quo, i.e. it's a purely technical, temporary issue. In fact, what they in the end agreed to was to recognize it as the international maritime border. Not only that, but while for Lebanon, the most important point is that where the gas is, right, which is further out to sea, Lebanon achieved most of its aims. Israel's aims were on that part of the maritime border that is within 5 kilometers of the coastline. And that line runs according to line one, which was Israel's line. And so for Israel's point of view, the agreement has very great security advantages because it's now tied Israel-Lebanon with the backing of the United States to an internationally recognized maritime border. And that will, of course, have implications in terms of going forward, in terms of any conflict and who's to blame and who crosses what.
Look, when. I do want to ask you about how you think this actually makes Israel more secure, because those are also the comments that we're hearing out of Tel Aviv. But just back to my question on the politics behind this in sure. Israel, how much of this is a political issue ahead of these elections coming up?
So I think in a secondary sense, it's a political issue in that Mr. Netanyahu, the head of the opposition, one of his great benefits, advantages in elections is that he's seen as very successful in managing Israel's foreign affairs with Washington, with the Abraham Accords, with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Morocco. And here we see that Prime Minister Lapid has achieved an agreement which hasn't been achieved by Mr. Netanyahu for the last 10 years. And he's achieved it on terms that the defense establishment in Israel considered to be very good. So that's to his benefit electorally. However, I doubt it will make much difference because for Israelis going into the election, this gas deal is relatively marginal. Had Mr. Netanyahu opposed this deal, it might have helped Mr. Lapid. But since he has backed away from that opposition, since he is an avid reader of Israeli polls, I think it is a marginal issue. It might help a very little bit, but the real key to Israeli election results lie completely in other spheres, not the Lebanon gas deal.
Naeem Salem, we were talking about security just a moment ago. What are the security implications for this? And would Lebanon have gotten security guarantees as a result of this deal? And if so, by whom?
The reality is this agreement came about primarily because of the pressures of the United States on Israel and on Lebanon. As I mentioned earlier, due to the development in Europe and in Russia, Ukraine, et cetera, all of this development have affected the East Mediterranean oil and gas fields and discoveries and exploration in an accelerated way. And there is now Western and American policy to fasten the exploration for gas in the Eastern Mediterranean. This has come to work in our interest in Lebanon. We have benefited from that. And in fact, Israel will be benefiting from that because if this agreement didn't come about, Hezbollah would have continued to threaten Israeli installation in the Mediterranean. And in fact, when Hezbollah sent three drones toward the ships which are exploring for oil in the Karish region, Israel really was terrified because this is very dangerous. I mean, one missile is to hit that huge ship will cause a big problem for Israel. So there was, therefore, an intersection of interest which brought about this agreement. Right. I want to emphasize this agreement, it is political in a way, but primarily is a technical agreement. It doesn't have much political implication. Previously, we have negotiated through the United Nations or through the U.S., for truces in 2006 and 2000, and the year 2000 when Israel withdrew from South Lebanon. And those agreements didn't have political implication between Lebanon and Israel. And this apply on this oil and gas demarcation.
Okay, let me just jump in there and bring in Nabil, because I see that you do want to comment, Nabil from Paris, and also tell us what you think about what President Aoun said of Lebanon. He said that this outlining the boundaries would prevent war with Israel. I mean, in your opinion, does this make war a less likely possibility?
Well, it certainly makes war less likely over oil and gas and over any accident that could happen at sea. Since we brought in the elephant in the room, Hezbollah, and everybody knew that they were a silent participant in these negotiations, silent at the table, of course, but indirectly, they were not so silent. There was the pragmatism on Hezbollah's part, which was recognized by everybody, was saying, look, if the Lebanese government and its three presidents are satisfied with the agreement, we are fine with it. We're not going to oppose. They did have one condition which wasn't well publicized. There is a certain line that they draw, which is sort of a perpendicular line going from Nakura out at sea. They do not want to see any Israeli warships heading north of that line. And that for them is a security question. As long as Israel doesn't own any waters above that line and send ships, then they are fine. But also from a security point of view, so, okay, we're not gonna have war at sea, but who's going to stop the Israeli airplanes from flying over Lebanon? Who's gonna stop any skirmishes that happen on land? So the prospect of war in general is still there.
Right, okay.
But we took away one element of it.
Let's bring in Jonathan to comment on that. Jonathan, go ahead from Tel Aviv.
Well, I think it's slightly disingenuous in the sense that any time Lebanon would have wanted a deal, they could have had one over the last 10 years. It was Hezbollah that didn't want one because they didn't want to enter the kind of agreement that they've now entered. And the reason that they're being pragmatic is that their standing in Lebanon is bad. Their position in Syria is bad. The position of the Iranian regime at home is bad.
I wonder what you're basing this information on, though, Jonathan. I mean,
It's not very difficult to look at, is it? There's demonstrations going on in Tehran. The Lebanese economy and government is in a worse situation than at any time anyone can remember. Those are big issues. So, you know,
right, those are big issues that the Lebanese government is having to deal with as a government. Let's not talk about internal domestic Lebanese politics, because we're just coming up to the end of the show. I'd just like your final thoughts on whether you think that from the Israeli perspective, this makes Israel more secure. We have about a minute or so left on the program.
I think it's telling that all three of us agree that it takes away one potential cause of a conflict that is not in anybody's interest.
Okay, and final word to Naeem in Beirut, because this is important and I did want to raise this with you. We have 30 seconds left, Naeem. Is it clear how Lebanon will actually manage the potential profits from these discoveries, seeing as there is a severe financial crisis in the country?
Managing the potential revenues and the profit, this is a very complicated issue in Lebanon, but we hope that they will be managed in a proper way. But this agreement, in brief, has achieved a major outcome, which is giving the right to Lebanon to begin in earnest to explore for the oil and gas and to begin producing oil and gas, which is by itself a very good achievement. And it will come to be to materialize in the next 2 to 3 years. Total Energies will be sending its ship to Lebanon's territorial water,
right,
bordering Israel, in a matter of 2 to 3 months maximum.
Okay.
And that bodes well for us.
We'll
and
have
for
to
the
leave
production
it there.
Of oil and gas in our territory.
On that note, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. Naeem Salem, Jonathan Reinhold, and Nabil Khoury, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime. You can visit our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. Join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJInsideStory. From myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.